You're listening to Consider This, episode 246, for March 11th, 2019.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whenever, wherever, and whoever you are, can you believe it? Conservative commentary in just 10 minutes or less? Well, believe it. This is the award-winning podcast Consider This, and I'm the believable Doug Payton, here to let you know what I believe. Believe it or not, there is a website for this show. It's at considerthis.ctpodcasting.com, and it has all the ways to let me know what you believe. Check it out and get your voice or your words here. That's CT as in charging thousands. The high cost of helping a stray cat and how to reduce it. And the story of a woman who managed to get back her financial footing in an ironic way. That's coming up. One other thing you can do at the website is support this podcast. There's a tip jar if you want to toss something directly my way. Or there's the easy-to-use Amazon affiliate link. Click it the next time you're going to enrich Jeff Bezos, and a little bit of that will be redirected to support this conservative commentary. Come on, you know he'd hate that. Okay, I've got a story here for you cat lovers. I've also got a story for you healthcare cost enthusiasts. And yes, it's the same story, really. Jeanette Parker saw a stray cat walking around a neighborhood just outside of Florida's Everglades National Park. It looked sickly, so Jeanette wanted to give it something to eat. She went to give it some tuna, but the cat bit the hand that fed it. Because it broke the skin, and there had been warnings from Miami-Dade County about rabies, she washed off the cut, and since the health department was closed for the day, she went to the emergency room. She spent about 2 hours there, and got two types of injections and an antibiotic. She never talked to a doctor. Then she got the bill. It came to $48,512, with $46,422 of that total for one preventative medication. That was an injection of 12 milliliters of rabies immune globulin, an antibody that kickstarts the immune system to provide protection from the virus until the vaccine kicks in. Now, if you convert that to dollars per gallon, it comes to $14,643,820. Sounds like instead of going back to the gold standard for our currency, we could just stockpile rabies immune globulin and stash it in Fort Knox. Needless to say, that seemed a little high to Ms. Parker. Now, it is a complex product to make. It's made from blood plasma donated by volunteers who have been immunized against rabies. There are three companies that make it, there are no current shortages of it, and the average wholesale price is $361.26 per milliliter. That comes to about $4,335 for the shot she got. But the hospital routinely charges that higher rate for the shot. However, we will get back to that. So Ms. Parker wound up paying $4,191 for that visit, most of that being her 10% share of the charges accepted by her insurance company. As she noted, her funeral would have been cheaper. Well, except for the casket, but that's an entirely different story. So, where does this massively inflated charge for the shot come from? I have a video in the show notes done by Adam Conover as part of his series Adam Ruins Everything, that explains what it is. All of his videos are very informative and entertaining, although sometimes I don't think he's giving us the entire story. Anyway, he tells us that hospitals used to be more free market, charging just a bit more for a procedure in order to make a profit. Then came insurance companies. They wanted to negotiate cheaper rates, but the hospitals couldn't afford the cut rates, so the two got together and came up with a set of fake prices called the Charge Master. Each hospital keeps its own Charge Master list with highly inflated prices, and insurance companies base their advertised discounts off that list. I'm not sure if that's something of a simplified example, but these Charge Masters are a real thing. So insurance companies are one of the big reasons healthcare got out of the free market. Someone else was paying, and the real prices were secret, so the consumer was insulated from knowing and mostly even caring about the prices. Does this sound familiar? What has happened to the price of college since the government started subsidizing it? Anyway, the hospital that Ms. Parker went to used the price on their charge master to do the billing. But for too many, the solution for overly inflated prices is government intervention to go deeper into the rabbit hole of insurance. Medicare for all, the Democrats shout. Really? The same insurance plan that's losing doctors who accept it because the payments are way too small, that's the solution? Well, let me tell you what happened recently. Shortly before January of this year, the Trump administration made some new rules regarding Obamacare. One of them said that hospitals must put their charge master numbers on their websites. No interference in the market, just the transparency that a free market needs. We're not nearly back to free market healthcare, but get this. Amazingly, or not, the hospital that Ms. Parker used adjusted its price for that shot from $46,422 down to $9,900, faster than a cockroach scurrying away from the light. Still rather high, but not insanely so. And all this from a simple return to one of the requirements of a free market. Maybe, just maybe, this free market thing isn't such a boogeyman after all. It'd be nice to give it more of a try. This next story is the story about Blanca, the financial problems she faced, and how she survived and escaped her bad situation. Blanca lived in the New York City area. When her husband died with no life insurance and outstanding medical bills, Blanca almost lost her house. But she worked out a payment plan with the bank and she wasn't evicted. Quote, "I was cleaning houses in the morning and working as a secretary at a hospital in the afternoon. I was working from 6 a.m. until 11 p.m. And I prayed and prayed and things worked out. After the children graduated from college, I figured it was time for me to move to Florida." Close quote. So after things had worked out, she bailed out of New York. Any particular reason why at that point? Why, yes, quote. "I lived in the New York area for most of my life, but I started being unable to afford it. I was paying $10,000 a year in real estate taxes up north. I'm paying $600 a year in Florida. It's stress-free down here." Close quote. Of course, high taxes can be very stressful, especially in New York City. But she had to leave, even if her famous daughter still lives there. See, Blanca has taken to signing her name these days as B.O.C., and her famous daughter, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, is ironically in favor of much higher taxes and, of course, much higher stress. I guess Mom ain't moving back anytime soon. And just a quick note about the Jack Phillips masterpiece cake shop story. The Colorado Human Rights Commission had charged him again when he refused to do a cake for a gender transition event, a complaint that came in on the very day he won the Supreme Court case. I had waited to see if this got any traction before talking about it, since I'd given it a lot of time already. Well, the commission backed down. The link is in the show notes for this bit of good news on the religious freedom front. Hey, send me your good news, or your bad news, or your unbelievable news, so I can feature it right here. Write me at considerthis@ctpodcasting.com or call me at 267-CALL-CT0, 267-225-5280. And of course, the website will cover all the many ways to get in touch, as well as the links and the videos I referred to. Believe it or not, I want to hear what you think, whether or not you believe me. It's the best way for us to consider this.